Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a program dedicated to the upliftment of the underserved communities. As always, we like to come into your homes and share information that you can use as a tool to make your life and your community life a better place to live and to be. As always, we will continue down the road of trying to fill in the many missing pages that have been left out of the historical world history books. And to continue this path, we have with us a contributor and an analyst of missing pages of history, Emmanuel Joyner, who will come and share his perspective today on the issue of the Woody Lynch speech and how it impacts on us today. But before we get into that subject matter, we would like to bring Mr. Joyner in and ask him to give us some information dealing with many black facts. So we'll start this program with, let's talk about some many black facts. What are your many black facts for today's program, Emmanuel?
Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing today? I want to give you one excerpt from the reparations for slaveholders. No one has ever talked about reparations at no particular time during the Abraham Lincoln's, none of his speeches talked about that. But Abraham Lincoln offered reparations to the slave owners, slaveholders, and to pay them for their losses. This is the first time reparations had ever been mentioned, and very few of us know about what happened in that particular time. And what happened was Abraham Lincoln was growing increasingly sensitive, fearful of the explosive issue and divisive issue of slavery. The country was being basically divided. In his first term as presidency, he offered a reparation to Southern slaveholders. He devised a scheme that slaves gradually over a period of 30 years would be released, all of them. And he would offer reparations to the Southern slaveholders and pay them for their losses out of the national treasury. To carry out his plan, what he did was he needed the approval of Congress, first of all, to do this. And he offered them $500 million. $500 million. Of their total investment of $7 billion. This was invested that slaveholders had bought slaves and paid for them, and also Indian slaves. That was an imaginable amount of money at that particular time in history. Couldn't believe how much money that was. Well, the federal government could not afford to compensate slaveholders to release their slaves, not at $7 billion. Had made money already, so we're talking about, well, let's subtract, and we come to a number, $500 million would be, $500 million rather, would be the number that we're coming up with, your capital investment. Now, just to do a comparison here, all the capital investments in the North, South, and West, together, and include all the businesses that what this equal to, basically. So the reparations to the Southern slaveholders, they refused it. The Northern industrialists, that was another glitch in it, too. Why should you pay them this kind of money out of the national treasury? They were not interested in compensating Southern slaveholders for their investment. They had Northern politicians who would not support reparations because they wanted to reduce the South's autocratic control of the national government. Slavery controlled the government at that particular time. That's amazing. The proposed reparation plan for slaveholders exceeded the total federal budget of $50 million. All the businesses in America combined didn't come up to that, and paying them $500 million. Of course, it never happened. Of course, we had the war. Congress denied the president's request. But reparations was offered by Abraham Lincoln. Very few people know about this. But again, Congress denied it. So that would have basically got rid of slavery. We never had a civil war. That's why, again, the North and South is what they are today. The impact of slavery done this to us. And again, we're going to talk more about slave ownership up north and things that happen in our programs in the future. But that was the first time that reparations, and very few historians or in the history of this country, people talk about reparations. But in opposed to reparations, South Carolina basically say, we ain't doing that. We'll fight first. That's what happened. So civil war ensued.
So, Emmanuel, I would just like to get a quick response from you on that little mini black fact in regards to when people make the argument that reparation, to call for reparation, has no legitimacy. Based upon what you have just discussed with our listening audience, share with our listening audience, how would you address that issue on whether or not if reparation is a legitimate claim for those who are being constantly exploited and misused?
Well, it's very difficult. It was $7 billion at that particular time with investment. What would it be today to get reparations for what has happened to us so we can catch up on some of the disparities? It's a disparity because of that wasn't done. We have disparities today. It's such long-reaching between white and black, African-American and Europeans because of slavery. They're ahead of us today in disparities as far as money, investments, everything you see around us. They own everything because of slavery, because you were not allowed to own anything, basically. Nothing. So you don't have nothing. So they're totally responsible for what's going on today. No, you have no bootstraps, can't get them. This is untrue. You came here barefooted. No clothes, no language, no culture. No name. This where you've been for 300 years. You will never catch up. They're not going to let you catch up. Because that's another working part of racism, race, and religion that we'll be doing within 6 months, doing a series on that topics: race, religion, racism. How this contributes to where we are today. This is all the working parts of the three: race, religion, and racism. And I will detail that, showing again, we worked hard and nothing come from it. So stop telling us, if you work hard, what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen. We worked hard. And what has happened? Nothing. You didn't get paid. You can't work hard, you don't get paid. You keep hard, you work, you don't get paid. There is no payola, not unless you get paid.
All All right, on that note, we can move forward. But first, we'd like to make a quick announcement to our supporters and friends of Missing Pages of History that the Missing Pages of History has extended its fourth quarter raffle drawing to January the 30th. Yes, January the 30th, we have extended our quarterly raffle drawing, which you can hear live on WCLM, 1450 AM, radio station in Richmond, Virginia. As well as we'd like to share with everyone that we are still continuing our monthly t-shirt cap drive for Missing Pages of History. We're getting ready for the spring. So if you haven't ordered your t-shirt and caps yet, please do so by either contacting a member of Missing Pages of History or going to our website. Or if you have any additional questions, you can always contact Missing Pages of History at 818-337-0016. And for this program and future programs or all programs, if you don't hear this program in its entirety or you'd like to visit some of our past programs, please, we invite you to go to our website. That's at www.mphinc.org, and you can view all the programs that we have produced so far. Again, we'd like to have your support. You can support us by sending any kind of contribution to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23221. So those are our announcements for the day, and we now get started on our theme tonight, which is we're going to deal with the Willie Lynch speech. How is it impacting us today? Again, we have Emmanuel with us, and Emmanuel, we're going to turn the mic over to you, and we'd like to get your analysis on the Willie Lynch speech and how it's impacting on our communities today.
Well, as I look at the Willie Lynch speech, people can say this and that about historians saying this and that about it. It wasn't mentioned by, you know, about abolitionists. It wasn't mentioned by some of the black African American writers. But like I say, I believe the Willie Lynch speech today has a huge impact. Huge impact on what happened to us today. The making of a slave. It's amazing that in 1712, some people recall the speech, some don't, in their history findings. I find it as today. It's an invitation that it happened. The problem is not unique what we have today. Never going to be unique. Because, again, once you read the speech, understand exactly what it says. Once you do that, that's some of the... That was 300 years ago. It explains some of the internal problems and division within the American, African American community today. The Willie Lynch syndrome. As I explained it from the offset, it had a great impact on us today. I don't question its intensity. I think it's legitimate, and I think it's a very crucial historical document, which basically explains what has happened to African Americans since slavery. But again, I still believe in its intensity and its widespread adoption during the slavery era. It had to have something. And it's just brought itself up to the modern days of today in different forms. But again, we have to understand what it says. When they elaborate and enumerate the problem that we have today at the introduction of this speech, how it, again, impacts us today. But man, again, how are we going to solve some of the things that it says that he had in that bag? And that foolproof bag he had, how to control them, black slaves, free blacks, and future African Americans. If he installed this correctly, it would control black people for the next 2,000 years. And all you have to do is use fear, distrust, and envy for control. Let me repeat that. I'm going to outline the differences and the number of differences. All you have to do is make the differences bigger. Then use fear. Use distrust and envy for control. And it works. See, what's on top of the list is age. It's age. Why is age there? Because it starts with an A? No. But they're the most important ones. The second on the list, of course, is color, pigmentation, shade. Then the third one, of course, is going to be intelligence, size of the person, sex, size of their home, size of where they live, and status in the community. Well, well, well. And where you live. Then you put the fine hair against the coarse hair. You put the tall against the short, the old against the young. So you got a list of differences, and that's what they have done. We've been brainwashed, as I outlined this to you, of action, how to do this. But of all the ones I've just named, distrust is the strongest. Envy, of course, is strong than adulation. Envy is very strong in adulation. To say someone has something and you're proud that they have it, you get envious and jealous because they have it and you don't have it. This is how you control black people, and they know this. Respect over admiration. These are the things that we impact us today. Nothing different. And you have to study something I call human nature and the slave nature and the basically African-American nature. And how do you get practical results? Well, things that we don't have to deal with. And they don't let us deal with it. You're never going to deal with the earth. You're not going to deal with the wood on the earth. And you're not going to deal with stones. You're not going to deal with what you might call bricks and mortar. Who does all that? What are we building? We didn't build New York. The tall buildings. Who do that? Keep certain things away from us. The three things they talk about keeping from us is the earth, wood and stone. So these are kind of things, again, that to make sure that injustice follows us, and they make sure of that. And Richard Pryor said one day, I was doing some jokes, and Richard Pryor said, justice means just us. Well, that is exactly what it means. So you have to look at it, the dreaded distribution, how to distribute wealth. And make sure you don't get any. You get very little. Enough to make some of us jealous. And pinpoint the ones that had a little bit of wealth that say everything is even. Oh, everything is even. Because, you know, we got 7 black billionaires and none of them got $1 billion but one. 7 black billionaires in this country. None but one of them have $1 billion in cash, and it's not Oprah. She has $985 million cash. She don't have $1 billion. And but one person got over $1 billion in cash money. So, again, when you look at something like this, we just call Oprah. Whites have many Oprahs. They have millions of Oprahs. I was doing a study. They were talking about black millionaires. 33,000 in this whole country. Assets, $4 million. $4 million. 33,000. I looked at one city, and I picked a specific occupation. Went to Los Angeles. 235,000 millionaires in one city. In one city. Over 65,000 were attorneys. That's almost twice as much as we have in the whole U.S. of A, all 50 states. But they say we done caught up. So that's the lie, the distrust. 33,000 African-American millionaires got assets of an average of $4 million. Here's one city with attorneys. One city, Los Angeles. We're not talking about Frisco, San Diego. We're not talking, I mean, no other cities. No other states, New York, Texas, Florida, all the states we can call. But just one city. 65,000 attorneys in L.A. worth more than $4 million. Here's a whole country of blacks. Got 33,000 black millionaires. So we have nothing. They're going to make sure it stay like that. Because nobody's going to put the numbers out there and say, what? Oh, no. But again, it's an apparent attraction. They're going to make sure they stay out there. But again, the indifferences make the difference, and brainwashing is number one. We've been brainwashed totally. And the differences, I told you, we have to make sure we keep this in mind, that these are the things that are going to keep us apart. Going to stay apart because, again, the things they have targeted. But the most important thing that I read in the Willard Wendt speech was make sure we supply all of their needs. And that's what they do. Make sure they come for us for everything. That's what they do. They set stores in your neighborhood. Gas station in your neighborhood, you can't put one there, but they make sure they control our immediate economy. And to make sure that we don't avoid turmoil in our economy. So these, and make sure anything we produce, make sure they control it. And make sure that they can break it. Anything you do is going to be, have any superiority to it, they want to make sure they break it. And I told some people a couple weeks ago, only three things that they support, clap their hands and come to see you do. That's to play football, basketball, and box, and boxing. Those are the only three things they don't care how long as they own it, but you're not going to deal with it. And Don King was doing a great job doing it. Black Thumber Don King. And Bob Arum was taking the money from everybody. They have that distrust in ourselves. Make sure we talk about Don King. Finally, boxers are getting paid. Larry Holmes got paid. Muhammad Ali, they got paid. Holyfield got paid. Joe Louis didn't get paid. Jerry Joe Walcott didn't get paid. Ezra Charles didn't get paid. They end up opening doors at a hotel. See, there's a difference, and we understand the psychological and the physical instructions of containment. Now, this is what they do. They control your language, your psyche, and your physical instructions of containment. They make sure they contain it. And that's self-evident, what I just said a few minutes ago. So again, the discourse of economics, African American community, has to be exposed.
All right, Emmanuel, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to stop you for a few minutes. We're going to take a few phone calls. Then we're going to let you sum up the nature of the theme today, dealing with the Willie Lynch speech and its impact on us today. We have some callers who've been waiting patiently. We're going to ask them to state that question or make that statement 1 minute or less. We're going to go to caller 3330. Caller 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your statement or your question as relates to the impact of the Willie Lynch speech.
Well, I'm going to just make a comment in regards to its impact in the modern day context. Wasn't that long ago you had Tyler Perry and Spike Lee engaged in a back and forth because of some criticism that Spike Lee launched his way. But either way, it's very interesting. Given the mechanisms and success both have had as filmmakers, they have the resources to put some more flattering portrayals of black people in terms on the big screen, but it's unfortunate that they can't find a way to work together because of some trivial disagreement. So, yet again, Willie Lynch is clearly present today.
Thank you for the observation, caller. We thank you. We can go to our next caller. We can bring caller 9289. Caller 9289. Welcome to Mr. Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Mr. Jordan, I'd like you to reiterate how voting impacts blacks here in the U.S. according to the Willie speech, because of the fact where we stand, what our percentage is, and whether or not we count, or how our votes count.
Well, to get the voting percentage, we have a... I hope I answer your question.
Go ahead.
Trying to answer a question, I'm trying to maybe shed some light on what she was saying. African American votes is 18 to 21 million votes out of a possible, you might, 30 million votes. Hispanics has about 14 million votes if people vote, 19 million, you might say, average. African, which is 33 million votes. Asians have about 7 million votes, which is about 40 million votes. That's how Democrats win. That's how Hillary Clinton is going to win. Our Republicans can't win. You can't base your votes on New Hampshire and Iowa and Idaho, places of this nature, which is basically 93-94% white votes there. And that's where Donald Trump is and where most Republicans are going to basically, really over predominantly white votes. And of course, they have a certain way of thinking. They still think you're a slave. They think you're not. They still think you're inferior. They still think you're this or that, but they got everything through slavery. They got everything through slavery and through the government. And of course, and through Wall Street, which runs the government. But again, we need to vote, especially in five states. That's New York, that's Illinois, that's Pennsylvania, that's California. You need to vote heavily in these, at least where your electoral college votes are. And this, about six of these states here, I think Ohio, they sort of run this thing. And this is where African Americans are, this is where your Hispanics are, this is where your Asians are, and this is where your young people are who's going to vote. And that's who elects the presidency. So don't worry about New Hampshire and Iowa. Don't worry about the South Carolina. Don't even worry about these states. They have very small amount of electoral votes. Idaho, Iowa, very little. They go there for a reason, to try to sway the other 48s, the other 40. That's why they, why are you going to New Hampshire? It's got, what, 3 electoral college votes? Why are you even there? But again, brainwashing, persuading, this is the American way. This is the American white way, you might say, of trying to distract people from the real, real core. I just gave you the core. The core is 19 million votes, African Americans. We vote 93% Democrat. We should. They're better than Republicans, that's for sure. And again, Hispanics vote 83% Democratic. So they can't get in. They'll never get in again. Because, again, they don't control those 4 states, Pennsylvania, Illinois, New York, and California. Vote. And we need to vote because they're trying to do everything they possibly can. They know that. Why do you think they fight before they go toward the Voting Rights Act? Why? Because we got 19 million votes and Obama won by 5 million. We got 19. Stop them. Stop the 19. That's what they're trying to do. By gerrymandering, redistricting things they're trying to do. Closing polls on Saturday and Sunday, special Sunday, making the border time shorter, everything. Not having enough places to vote, but gerrymandering, redistricting is causing all of this. They know what they're doing. They slick. They're a bunch of liars. I understand what they're doing. They don't like me very much.
Okay, let's go to this other caller. Been waiting patiently. Caller 4298. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, hello. Got me?
Yes, caller. Go. Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's great to have this refreshing analyst on the Willie Lynch story and stuff. I like to move from a positive direction, from internal contradiction, what we can, self-determination can do. And that's why I recommend The Souls of Black Folks by W.E.B. Du Bois, which takes a good look at the condition of Black America. The up-to-the-minute situation is The Christian Imagination, Theology and the Origins of Race by Willie James Jennings. This is a book that just came out. And so I recommend these two books because we have to liberate ourselves. We can't depend on the oppressor liberating us. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Emmanuel, your response?
Well, it's very difficult to liberate when you're 12% of the population. When you're 12% of the population, first of all, very difficult. You don't control nothing that's in place. They make sure that. It's like South Africa. Mandela, people that followed Mandela was there, but Clerk, he had already set the rules. There was a lifetime rule, so their family will still control South Africa, even though only 1% of the population was white and 99% were black. Well. Here is 12% African-Americans, 12.5% African-Americans. You can't do a whole lot with that because they control the economic picture, and Wall Street runs the government. This country is not run by the people for the people. It's Wall Street for the people. Wall Street is Wall Street is Wall Street. People can say what they want to say, but Wall Street's running this country, and they're going to keep on doing it because that's how only you keep capitalism in place. It's money and power, and they're going to make sure that happens. They know they will not get the government again. They will not become the president again, the Republican. They know this. So how do we control it? We control it through Wall Street. We control the money. That's what they're going to do. So very little we can do at 12%, 12.5 population. Be beyond the Willie Lynch letter. They can control you for 2,000 years. So we got another 1,700 years ago to control us. Because, again, they said, make sure we supply all of their needs. And that's what they do today. Make sure they come for us for everything. For a job, for get money, for credit, everything them. We can employ a half of a person. What half do you want? Waist up or waist down? What average white person can hire 12.5 people Those whole people, 12 people, whole people. We're talking about a half. That's all we can employ. So all the nonsense we can talk until we do something with that, until we build, employ, until we even do what we need to do. Again, they got us divisive. They're going to keep us that way. Willie Lynch, make sure you do that. Put the short against the tall, the old against the young, the good hair against the bad hair, the dark against the light skin. He got it all laid out. And that's where we are. The jealousy, distrust, and envy, this is what we're all about.
And on that note, we're going to have to end. We're going to have to stop this journey. And we will continue this on the 26th of December. Again, we'd like to remind our supporters and listening audience that Missing Page of History has extended a fourth quarterly raffle drawing contest to the 30th of January. And we have an ongoing T-shirt cap fundraiser drive in which if you have not ordered your cap and T-shirt, please do so by contacting a member of Missing Page of History or going to our website at www.mphinc.org, as well as if you'd like to contact us directly, you can do that to our website, or you can call us, and our number is 804-726-3217. We'd like to thank everyone for allowing us the opportunity to come to their home this evening, where we entertain the issue of the Willie Lynch speech and its impact on our community. Let's continue to work together and continue to try to fill in those missing pages of history. We'll see you on the 26th, same time, same station. You have been listening to Missing Pages of History. We thank you.